Today I'd like to talk about, so I gave some vague title, entanglement, variance bond, Shannon entropies, and boundary field theory. So I'm going to attempt to give you some very simple application of boundary field theory, this kind of problem, some entanglement entropies related business. And actually, first part, entanglement entropy part, is sort of old work 5 years ago. So maybe you have heard this before, but I'd like to discuss this briefly. Then this also gives some motivation, partially motivation to discuss so-called Shannon entropy or Rényi Shannon entropy. This part is new. Actually, I'm preparing a paper working with Gregor Mizgish in Sakurai, also Vincent Pasquier. I hope this paper will be submitted sometime very soon. But still in preparation. Okay. And if I have a time, I'd like to also mention briefly about variance bond distribution and maybe related entropy. But first, I want to discuss these two. Okay. So for this audience, I don't think I need to give you any introduction about entanglement entropy. But so entanglement entropy is useful to classify the state, characterize quantum phases. So if we find some new phases, interesting quantum phase, then we try to compute entanglement entropy and see what is the characterization of characteristic behavior of the entanglement entropy in that particular phase. From that standpoint, there is one interesting quantum phase, which is no longer very new, but anyway, kind of interesting. That appears, for example, if you consider quantum diamond model. Which is defined on lattice. For example, square lattice. And the configuration space of quantum diamond model is given by some configuration of dimers like this. This is dimer, and this is another dimer, and this is another dimer, this is another dimer, and so on. So, for example, the rule is that every site is occupied by one dimer, but not more than one dimer. And each dimer occupies two neighboring sites. So there are strong constraints, but still there are many, many ways to cover such lattice by correction of dimers. So there are many, many degrees of freedom. And typically, the Hamiltonian can be defined like a kind of resonance term. So suppose you have bracket somewhere, and if you have parallel configurations of dimer like this, then you may flip to, okay, I should say opposite. So if you have a horizontal pair of dimers in a single bracket, you may flip them to vertical ones. And of course, you allow opposite process, which is represented by Hermitian conjugate of this term. And this is so-called resonance term. And also, there may be a potential-like term, which favors or disfavors the parallel dimer configuration, like this or this. So this does not change any dimer compression, but put some potential energy V. So this model has been introduced originally to model maybe spin one half quantum anti-Fermat net on let's say square lattice or whatever lattice. Actually, the equivalence of this quantum timer model and original spin model is kind of tricky or subtle business. So I'm not going into that question. But this model itself is kind of interesting problem. And the hope is that at some appropriate value of parameter, these dimers resonate and resulting in some kind of quantum leakage without any long-range order. And there has been a lot of studies on this model, this kind of model, various lattices. And in fact, for square lattice, it's known that for J cos V, I think it was J cos V. Sorry if I'm wrong. This is kind of special solvable point. The ground state is exactly known, so-called Loxa-Kibelson point. Where the ground state is given by, oops, given by all the possible dimer coverings with the same coefficient. So if you have large lattice, there are many, many ways to cover the lattice by dimers. And the Loxa-Kibelson wave function is just given by superposition of all the possible dimer coverings of this lattice. So this is a simple but still interesting wave function, of course, without any apparent order, because you sum over all the possible dimer coverings. And there has been also a lot of analysis of this state, but it turns out that for square lattice, at least, this is kind of actually critical point in which the dimer-dimer correlation function decays algebraically rather than exponentially. Which is, for some reason, also sometimes called quantum Lifshitz. And I'm not going into detail of the analysis of this state, but basically you can map this dimer covering problem into the problem of fermions. Then you can bosonize this fermion. And the actually, there is a long distance effective field theory type description of this wave function. That is by using some boson field. Let's say this is some vector which is specified by configuration of free boson field. And you take some superposition, but now with some weight. And this weight is given by action of one plus one dimensional or two dimensional confirmed field theory, or more simply, free boson field theory. So this is not the standard mapping between quantum many-body problem to quantum field theory, but because usually if you have, let's say, two-dimensional quantum many-body problem, you map this system to two plus one-dimensional field theory. But this is expression of two-dimensional ground state wave function in terms of two-dimensional quantum field theory. So this is kind of special, but for this problem, I skipped the derivation, but it's known that you can do this mapping. And this was, in my knowledge, first done by Ardon in some time I went. I thought, quite some time. So this is, as I said, kind of special mapping, but still useful. And given this field theory description, we might think that, okay, so this is still special expression. And we want to know how universal this is, and what kind of universality class this wave function represents, and so on and so on. Then the natural question, perhaps, is to characterize this ground state or quantum phase, which includes this particular ground state using the entanglement entropy. So let's calculate the entanglement entropy for this particular system.
How the field lives in the points of the lattice?
So this field phi, how defined? I don't think this can be precisely defined on the lattice. First, you map this problem into some fermionic problem on the lattice. Then you kind of represent these fermions in terms of boson. So this is kind of continuum expression, if I understand correctly.
Well, I think one way you can think of this is a height function.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You can think of the level sets that height function forms some curves. Mm-hmm. Those curves are the reference, the transition graphs between a dimer configuration and a reference.
Then this is rather defined in the dual lattice or center of each.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
And you are going to compute the entanglement entropy in this representation, so
yeah.
The field phi, not for the original.
Actually, you can also try to directly compute entanglement entropy for using this original representation. I will come back to that point later. But first, I want to discuss how to deal with this field theory type representation for the ground state.
I have one question. I'm trying to recall. So here, if I think of the 1 plus 1 D theory, it looks like Z is equal to 1.
Right.
But sometimes the quantum drift, I thought, has z equal to 2.
Yeah. So this is z equals, because this is two-dimensional or 1 plus 1d, right, if you like. But this 1 plus 1 is both in spatial direction.
Right.
So this doesn't tell you directly what is the dynamical critical exponent. But if you want to write down the field theory type Hamiltonian, which gives this kind of state as a ground state,
right,
then you have z equals to 2.
Right. Sure. Right. It is just a wave function.
Yeah, this is just a wave function. Yeah. So just from this expression, I don't think I
right.
can read
there
off.
Is some variation calculation
right.
for the
right.
line. So
right. 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 So for example, we can define the system on torus or cylinder or whatever, and divide the system into A and B, and ask what is the entanglement entropy between these two regions for this particular kind of ground state. And this is a standard question. But in principle, given the wave function, we should be able to compute entanglement entropy. And first, let me discuss how it works using this field theory expression. Then it looks like an easy problem, but there is a pitfall. So this is maybe interesting example of application of boundary confirmed field theory I want to explain. So So usually when you compute this entanglement entropy in numerics or analytical methods, the quantity which is often most interested is so-called von Neumann entropy. But usually von Neumann entropy is difficult to compute. So we use replica trick or something with which we can compute so-called Rényi entropy. So here also I will try to use this replica method. Okay. Then to use the replica trick, so we need to obtain low A is as usual the reduced density matrix for the ground state restricted to region A, and we are interested in entanglement or Rényi entropy calculated from this reduced density matrix. And to compute Rényi entropy, we need to compute the trace of rho A to tau of n, as usual. And this may be computed using the kind of replica field. Originally, we had just one boson field, which describes this wave function, but we consider the n copies or replicas of the original field. And n set of them. And then, so this reduced density matrix should be normalized so that trace rho A is 1. So using the standard trick, this kind of trick is used also in analytical calculation or numerical calculation. You can represent trace of rho A to the power n by the ratio of two partial functions. And the denominator, GF, is just a partial function corresponding to integral over n replica fields without any particular condition. Whereas the numerator Zp corresponds to same partial function for n replica fields, but in order to represent this partial trace, for numerator we impose the condition that all the replica fields phi 1 to phi n takes the same value at the boundary. Let's denote this boundary between A and B as gamma. So in the numerator, we impose a condition that the order replica fields takes the same value. So this is a condition. So then this seems to be a simple problem because then this denominator is a partition function for n free bosons without any further condition. So this may be small zf to be partition function for single component boson field. Then if you have n replica fields without any restriction, then you should have nth power of this small zf. Then the problem is numerator. We impose this condition. But apparently, this can be easily solved by changing the basis. That is, let's say, introduce a new basis like this. So this is what is commonly used in bosonization or whatever. And then we can introduce difference field. So these are relative coordinates, and this is center of mass coordinate, so to speak. And then you can define n linearly independent new set of fields, this var phi. And if you use this field, then this constraint appears to be order difference field should be zero because phi 1 equals to phi 2, so this must be zero. And you can define other fields which is given by differences between replica fields, but those must all vanish because of this. So this corresponds to phi 1, phi 2, phi 3. All zero, except for this center of mass field, which is subject to no constraint. So this is still free on delta, while these other fields are subject to Dirichlet boundary condition on the boundary gamma. Then from this viewpoint, this numerator appears to be same partition function without any constraint coming from phi zero, and different kind of partition function, which is a partial function for boson field with Dirichlet boundary condition at the boundary. So this is coming from phi 0. This is from phi 1 to phi. Then this factor cancels with this one, and dp. Appears to be and if you adopt this viewpoint, then you can compute the entanglement entropy and obtain the constant part of the entanglement entropy. I only write the final results. you take the von Neumann limit, if you compute any entropy for any value of n, and then finally take the limit of n goes to 1, then you obtain the von Neumann entropy, which always have non-universal area robot, and plus some universal constant part. So this is gapless system, but in 2 plus 1D, but no Fermi surface. So you have non-universal area part plus some universal constant as you expect. And here you have log of 2G. So this is, by the way, G is coupling constant for free boson, and R is the compactation values. So actually, you can set R or G to 1 if you like, but there are many, many different conventions on literature, so I keep both of them, then you would get this kind of result. So this is determined by coupling constant or compactation radius, so this is universal as you expect. So this looks nice and simple, but actually this is not completely correct.
Where did you use that geometry so far?
I'm confused. Geometry, okay, I omitted the calculations, but
actually everything in general.
Yeah, so to actually evaluate this computation, I put the Dirichlet boundary function here.
But I could have used that formula for any geometry.
So given geometry, yes. But actually, this is not quite correct. That's okay. What I'm going to say. But up to this point, so to make this evaluation, you need to use this. Otherwise, this is there. But actually, this is not quite correct. There was some controversy at some point, because if you apply this method, you find this value. But so French group, Grégoire Misguich, and company took different approach, and they found a similar result, but with some additional constant 1/2. So it's similar, but still different. And this is supposed to be universal. It turns out that this result minus 1/2 was not quite correct, because there was one step which was not quite correct. That is, actually, this part is not quite correct. So this is also not quite correct. And the reason is that so this looks simple, nothing wrong, but actually this change of basis is kind of non-trivial, because so originally I had the let's consider simplest case when you have 2 replicas. And then let's consider phi 1, phi 2 field. Then originally these fields are kind of compact, right? These boson fields are kind of angular variables. So we should identify like this. So that means that in this phi 1, phi 2 plane, this origin is identified with this point, and likewise with this point. And also this one. So you have kind of square lattice, and each point on this lattice is identified. So you have kind of crystal lattice or something, which is called compactation lattice in string theory language. And so now, in order to deal with this problem, as I said, that it is useful to introduce different bases. That is phi 0, phi 1 plus phi 2 over square root 2, and also this orthogonal direction phi 1. So you can certainly introduce these fields and define these fields. That is still useful. But then, if you look carefully, you need to respect this original compactation lattice. But in the new basis, the compactation lattice is not simple square lattice. So it's kind of a rotated square lattice. So in the new basis, so it's like a face-centered square lattice or something. So this is a compactation lattice in terms of new basis. So you can still use this, but this is not a simple square lattice. So you cannot really decouple product, partial function into product of phi 0 partial function times phi 1 partial function. That's why this is not quite correct. So you need to, if you take this approach, you need to analyze this carefully, this multi-dimensional compactation lattice. And if you do this analysis carefully, then you end up having this extra one, minus one half part. So this is simple free boson boundary problem, but not completely trivial. So you need to take care of this effect. And if you do this, then you get this minus one half. So that story, and I skip all the technical details. So if you are interested, you can look up paper, or I can discuss more details in person. But I just wanted to mention that this is kind of interesting application of boundary conformal theory of free bosons, which may sound trivial, but not quite. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say that these factors, so this comes from the partial function of free boson in the presence of boundary. So this is, these constants are nothing but the so-called boundary entropy term of conformal theory, so which is subject to G theorem. And entanglement entropy in general and boundary entropy in conformal theory are different animals. But in this particular case, these two are related, or you can express this topological entanglement entropy in terms of boundary entropy. So they are very closely related, at least in this context. So this is the first story about entanglement entropy. So I want to switch over to the so-called Shannon entropy business.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So the wave function has some kind of conformal wave function.
Right. Does
it have any consequences for entanglement entropy for regions which are conformally
related?
If there are two regions,
uh-huh.
A and say, A1 and A2, which are related maximum.
Good question. Actually, I haven't thought about that,
okay.
But maybe interesting question. Yeah. So I only have thought about those simple cases. Mm-hmm. But okay, so it should be related because I skipped, but there was earlier work in which I think. Eduardo Fradkin and Joel Moore, perhaps, they studied entanglement entropy in the presence of sharp corners.
Right.
So here I assume there is no sharp corner.
Right. They did some conformal
Then they have this logarithm term coming from this sharp edge, which they obtained using conformal transformation. So in general, yes. Other questions? Then, So there was a question about this entanglement entropy in this quantum Dynamo model, Roxanne-Kibelson point. Here I explained how to approach this question using effective field theory, but you can also study this problem directly using the original wave function. And you can also map this question into some sort of classical Stat-Mech problem, because you have this lattice. And you have RK wave function, Roxanne-Kibelson wave function, which is given by summation over all possible dimer configuration. So you have dimers like these. Something like this. Then consider having a partition, bipartition of the system, let's say here. Then you can immediately see that this part, let's say A is this part, and this is B. And the dimer configurations in region A is only constrained by dimer configuration on this line. So you don't have to care what kind of dimer configurations you have below this line. Because once you determine dimer configuration, for example, this link is occupied by dimer, this link is not, this link is not. Once you fix all the dimer configuration along this line, then all the relevant constraints for region A you already have. So you can forget this part. So that means that this already gives kind of Schmidt decomposition. So the Roxanne-Kibelson wave function is given by some configuration in region A, let's say alpha, with a constraint that on this line, dimer configuration is given by particular configuration, let's say I. And same as B part. So both, this is state in A, this is state in B, and they are constrained by the configuration of dimers on boundary. So, this is the, this already gives a kind of Schmidt decomposition for Roxanne-Kibelson state. So the question about entanglement entropy is reduced to, so you can trace out this B part. Then you are left with the problem that for given configuration on this line, how many dimer configuration you can have for region A. And that gives you some number distribution or probability distribution from which you can compute the entanglement entropy or Rényi entanglement entropy. So, and this problem can be also mapped to some vertex, six vertex or eight vertex model in two-dimensional classical Stat-Mech. Or you can dig out this problem in terms of transfer matrix. And the problem, if you take transfer matrix approach, then you can dig out this direction as time. on this direction, or imaginary time on this direction of space, then problem is reduced to compute the amplitude between each boundary configuration and some ground state of this Hamiltonian or transformer. So this is, maybe I should put something here. So this is the ground state of 1 plus 1 D transformer. This is ground state of 1 plus 1, the 6 vertex model or something. So this is, again, 1 plus 1, the quantum many-body problem. So one dimension is got reduced. Then you take overlap with some quantum state representing some fixed configuration of dimer on this particular line, which can be identified with imaginary time zero instance or something like that. Then you can compute this original equation entropy. But this is, as I said, kind of a classical statistical problem or a quantum problem in one dimension lower, 1 plus 1, the quantum problem. And this entropy. So let's say this PI is the amplitude of your ground state in 1 plus 1 D overlap with some particular state in particular basis and take square. Then you have some probability distribution. And from this probability distribution, you can compute various entropies for Neumann or Reni. And this is called Shannon. So in this example, what I discussed is that you can reduce the problem of entanglement entropy in Lokshak-Kibler some point of quantum dimer model into Shannon entropy of 1 plus 1 the quantum many-body problem. And this is, again, kind of special relation. But then it also motivates us to study this quantity in general. So here I introduced this Shannon entropy as a mapping, by mapping from entanglement entropy problem in one higher dimension. But in general, if you have some quantum Hamiltonian and if you have ground state, you can always define this kind of Shannon entropy using some particular basis. And this is basis dependent. But still, you can define some measure for probability distribution. Then the hope is that this Shannon entropy or Reni Shannon entropy may give some characterization of quantum phase you have.
In the general problem, would you choose I, the states I?
Yeah, so you can choose any basis you like, like SZ basis, SX basis. Then, of course, this quantity is depends on what kind of basis you choose. But we did study SX basis, SZ basis for simple antifermionic. Then in that case, SX basis and SZ basis are generally different, unless the SMI model is isotropic. But then they are related by simple equation. So maybe they are essentially the same thing. So I guess maybe as long as you take local basis, maybe essentially you are getting the same kind of information, but I don't have general proof, but I'm just guessing. Yeah, of course, if you take non-local basis, then probably it's very different. So, yeah.
Suppose I go back to original, just the field theory language, where you were wave function some exponential or something, and exponential or some, CFT or differential of some local. Is it correct that in that case, again, we can, is that from that point of view, again, you can reduce it to some shared entropy or some?
I think probably.
So,
yes.
So what is the constraint on this field here? It has to be local?
I think this mapping works only if the wave function
is exponential of some,
PUC reaction. Yeah.
And that action you meant local action.
Right, yeah.
So
So that's already special, but
So in general, when you don't have sign problems at ground state, you write it at exponential of something, then it's not necessarily local.
Right.
Even though you can write exponential of some positive,
Yeah, if non-local, then maybe you can still use this mapping, but then you cannot interpret this as simple Shannon entropy. I haven't thought about you carefully, but perhaps. So now what I propose is that let's forget the original program, this quantum Lipschitz, you can forget about that. And now I want to consider some generic ground state of some Hamiltonian. Some local Hamiltonian. Then I is some particular set of bases. Like SZ basis or something. Then, given this, you can always define the probability distribution. So this is a probability distribution. In principle, if you measure all the SZs simultaneously, this is a probability distribution. And you can define any or von Neumann. Entropy. And so as I said, this is basis dependent certainly, but still maybe we can hope that this captures some characteristics, natures of given quantum phase represented by this wave function. And in fact, this has been studied numerically by people in Toulouse, like Fabien Allais, Nicolas Lafranchier, and David Gritz. They invented some clever quantum Monte Carlo algorithm to evaluate this probability distribution or entropies associated to this probability distribution rather efficiently, directly using Monte Carlo. Then, so with Monte Carlo, it's difficult to compute directly for Neumann, but they have some algorithm to evaluate Rényi entropy for this probability distribution. And they empirically found some, I forgot to say what kind of model they studied. So, of course, eventually, perhaps we are more interested in exotic phase, spin decay or something. But as you know, if you have negative sign problem, it's not easy to do quantum Monte Carlo. So they started from simple model like spin 1/2 Heisenberg or XXZ anti-Fermionate on square or cubic lattice. And So first they studied this numerically. And they found that, of course, again, if now okay, so the difference with entanglement entropy is that this Shannon entropy is defined for entire wave function. So you don't have to introduce any cut. So just compute this for entire ground state. But you can guess that there must be always non-universal contribution. You can also guess from this mapping. So this mapping is special, only works for some cases. But you know, entanglement entropy always has this area law contribution, which corresponds to volume law in this Shannon entropy language. And yeah, you can also expect that you always have volume law contribution. So this is non-universal, and it always exists, as you can easily expect. But there is also some apparently universal logarithmic term. Here, by volume, I mean number of sides on the lattice. They do quantum Monte Carlo simulation on finite size lattice. And this coefficient appears to be universal. So what we have been doing, I have been doing with Grégoire Mizgish and Vincent Pasquier, is to understand why this can be universal and what determines this coefficient. And I think we have kind of theory, simple theory, at least for very simple anti-Fermat like this. And I'm not running out of time, so I cannot go into detail. But the idea is very simple, so I will at least introduce how we are dealing with this problem. So for that, perhaps it's easy to start from the limit of Lenin. Yeah.
So my question is very naive, but are you at the critical point of these models?
Okay, so we are dealing with a broken symmetry phase. So we don't fine tune any parameter, but on square or cubic lattice, SU2 or UR symmetry is spontaneously broken. So it's okay, critical depending on your definition, but it's gapless because of numb Gaussian mode. So yeah, but without any fine tuning. So we are all, of course, interested in, let's say, critical point between this nail phase and some dimer phase or something, which may be described by more non-trivial field theory, but that's we haven't done yet. So we have so far studied simple spontaneously simple anti-permanentic phase with spontaneously broken continuous symmetry like U1 or SU2. And so let's consider n infinity limit. So this n is the Reni index for simplicity, because in this limit, as you know, we consider pi to power n, then this problem of Reni entropy is reduced to finding the maximal p's among all the possible configurations. But we can generalize this to any value of n, but let me start from this. So in the limit of n goes to infinity, we just need to calculate the maximum p, that is maximum among this kind of amplitude. And let's say we are taking x basis in, let's say, Heisenberg model, then what is Pmax? And number may be non-trivial, but it's easy to guess what kind of configuration gives you maximum P? Because you have an anti-Fermionet. So most of states have some random configurations. Some state may have ferromagnetic order, but they have very small overlap with Lagrange state. So maximum overlap comes from with I corresponds to some nets. So in this infinite end limit, we just need to compute overlap between the ground state and this nail state. And for this, we can imagine that you have space-time, and this is imaginary time. And ground state is generally given by applying Hamiltonian to some arbitrary initial state and take this tau to infinity. So let's say you have infinite space-time with initial state in the infinitely far away, tau equals to minus infinity. Then you evolve, you do time evolution until type equals to zero, then you should recover this ground state. Then take overlap with this nail state. But taking overlap with nail state corresponds to imposing certain boundary conditions. So the problem is reduced to evaluation of partial function of effective field theory, which is basically of Nambu-Goldstone modes with some fixed boundary condition which corresponds to Dirichlet or something. So P max is related to partial function between some fixed boundary condition in this setting. And there is another factor, but okay, so I'm run out of the time. So I basically,
Okay,
then, so, for this problem, as I said, I have spontaneously broken U1 was SU2 symmetry. So I have a theory of Nambu-Goldstone modes as an effective field theory. And I'm saying this is in 2 plus 1 or 3 plus 1D in this present context. So this is very simple field theory. And also, the nail state corresponds to basically vacuum for, fixed boundary condition. Dirichlet boundary condition for my Nambu-Goldstone mode, because Nambu-Goldstone mode can be regarded as a fluctuation around this nail state. So if you take this overlap, you are basically pinning down the Nambu-Goldstone mode at the boundary. So this I corresponds to Dirichlet. So this is kind of simple problem. But this is simple problem, but this evaluation of probability is maybe not so standard problem, although it's still easy. But this evaluation can be done using the fact that you can do mode expansion for this free boson field theory, number boson mode. Then so you can ask what is the probability of finding the field around its most probable point. So you are giving this state that corresponds to basically to phi equals zero. Then, but after time evolution, you have ground state. And classically, in the ground state, you have phi equals zero always. But now I have a quantum field theory of free boson. So even in the ground state, there is always a 0 point fluctuation. So evaluation of this is related to the evaluation of 0 point fluctuation. And this is related to, so for each mode, I have a harmonic oscillator. For each, so the free field, free boson field theory can be decomposed into the infinite number of harmonic oscillators, the modes, mode expansion. And each mode is equivalent to harmonic oscillator. And for each mode, I want to ask what is the probability of my oscillator being in the center corresponding to pi equals zero. And then I just need to take the product coming from each mode. So the calculation is given by something like oscillator contribution is coming from product of order wave number k and product of some with k. So it's given by product of from order wave numbers k except for the origin k equals zero. And we are interested in logarithm of this quantity. And then this is related to some constant minus. Summation of k square over discrete wave numbers k, except at the origin. And this is diverging quantity, but you can regularize and obtain a universal finite result. And actually, I spent a lot of time calculating this quantity, but Van San told me that this is basically determinant of Laplacian, which had been studied extensively in mathematical literature. So basically, this quantity was known. So if you use this, then so this part is in fact some volume rule, which is always non-universal times. Just for general interest, we have been studying only on simple torus or something, but the result of this determinant of Laplacian is known for general two-dimensional surface with this Euler characteristic chi. So for torus, I just need to set chi equals to zero. So this gives you this logarithmic. Okay, so this is for 2 plus 1 BH. But we can obtain similar result for 3 dimension. So this L square is length square, so nothing but volume. So this gives you at least part of this universal logarithmic term in this channel entropy. But actually, this is not the only contribution, because here I assume that we can only consider single vacuum ground state corresponding to this. But in reality, if you study finite size system, as you know, the finite size ground state is symmetric, doesn't break really symmetry. But this can be regarded as superposition of more physical symmetry breaking vacuum or ground states. So the finite size ground state is more like a summation of more physical ground state. So these are symmetry breaking. Ground state means that the order parameter points to some particular direction. But this is finite size ground state, which is usually symmetric. And if you do Monte Carlo, you are finding this. But if you take overlap between SD bases like this, then basically you are picking up only one physical ground state from this superposition. So you have this factor, which also scales as power of volume, depending on the number of Navogostro mode. So the final result is that this coefficient is different for U1 symmetry breaking case or SU2 symmetry breaking case, but basically this is determined by the number of Navogostro modes or number of broken symmetry generators. So that's what we can derive from free boson effective theory, which does not completely agree with numerics, but I think overall it's a consistent result. So I think this would be the starting point for more defined analysis. Sorry, I went over 10 minutes. Thanks for your attention.
So could you reason in this way? I mean, say you had a model that was very frustrated where, actually the ordering is some kind of order by disorder, you have some extensive ground state transparency. Can you use a logic like this, or is it just?
Okay, yeah, that's our future problem. But I think arguments like this should probably apply. Okay, it also depends on maybe in that kind of case. So in this case, I picked up SX or SD basis, and maximally probable configuration in SD basis basically had one-to-one correspondence with the ordered ground state. But in the case of frustrated system, maybe the correspondence is not so one-to-one. But I think in general, we should take this kind of factor into account. But then, yeah, overlap with SD basis, yeah, I'm not sure what we find, but yeah, that's an interesting question.
Just one comment. I think even people studied similar object, this analytical infinity for top of the orbit system, and they found that you can extract exactly the same thing, the overlap and maximum value. They found that you can extract, for example, top of the entanglement entropy.
I see.
Using this.
For topological phase?
Yeah, general string length. I don't know, general string length, but a large class of.
You take particular basis?
Yeah.
Local basis?
Yeah, some local. Probably doesn't matter, I think, but some local basis.
Please tell me the difference. Yeah, we studied more simpler system.
Yeah, they call it geometric, and there's some funny name they give it.
Post-related, yeah.
Any other questions? No, let's thank you.